Welcome to the Frame or Frame podcast, in which we take you behind the scenes of our Amsterdam-based cultural platform. My name is Ashley Malm, and today we are talking about Going Hybrid, a two-year research project into the future of hybridity for the cultural field. The COVID pandemic has catalyzed experimental approaches to hybrid cultural programming and togetherness, mixing online, offline, and everything in between. This research on hybrid publications, living archives, and hybrid events aims to serve new and existing audiences post-pandemic. Within this research, Frame or Framed is focusing on hybrid publications and specifically event reporting. Together with my colleague, Ebise Wakjira, and in the spirit of hybridity, we decided to make a podcast and blog post to share a bit more information about the relevance of this project for Frame or Framed's practice.
The innovation we're looking for is a successful improvement of the current workflow of event reporting. We are looking to create event reports and catalogs that fit the hybrid character of the cultural program they contain. Can these publications be more open-ended, multi-voiced, and engaging than traditional ones? Can they reach new audiences while serving existing audiences better? We will be exploring these and other questions in our following conversation. The main partners for the research project are the MU, Varia, Hackers and Designers, Impact, Frame of Framed, Hogeschool Rotterdam, and Willem de Koning Academy.
Ebise, could you give a bit more background on your own experience in publishing, and how do you understand hybrid publishing from the perspective of the publishing industry?
Well, there are three answers to this particular question. Firstly, a hybrid publication combines elements of traditional publishing and self-publishing, giving authors the opportunity to collaborate with a publishing company while maintaining some control over the process. In this model, also known as self-publishing, authors contribute financially to cover publishing expenses and receive various services in return, such as editing, design, distribution, and marketing support. The level of services and author involvements can vary per platform. Also, the term hybrid publication can also refer to publications available both in print and digital formats like PDFs, EPUBs, MOBI, and also like audiobooks, combining the advantages of all of these mediums. Also, additionally, coming from my original, where I started out as a publisher, was at academic publishing in the scientific community. Hybrid publication may also indicate articles accessible through both subscription model, where you have to pay for it, or in open access model.
So given your experience in the academic and literary publishing world, how is publishing at Frame or Framed different than what you do there?
The publications at Frame or Framed that I'm, responsible for are different insofar as I'm always dealing with art-related and artistic and research-based publications. And it's mostly visual arts. And so far, the books that we've published have always been in collaboration with other institutions like the Willem de Koning Academy and Van Ammen Museum. And furthermore, most of the editorial work that I do is related to our exhibition catalog, also known as the handouts, or zines sometimes we call them, as well as our online magazine where we publish various forms of long-form essays, event reports, as well as interviews with artists and curators. And finally, I'm also the producer of the freshly minted Frame of Frame podcast, so that makes it a slightly different than what I'm used to doing at a traditional publishing house where you have to have at least 20 to 30 titles a year, which we do not have. What about you? Before you got involved in this project, how did you think about hybrid publishing in general and also within the Frame of Frame context?
I would say, honestly, before I got involved in this project, I didn't really think about hybrid publishing. I maybe experienced it just as a reader in terms of like having my Kindle and my print books, but other, or like if you're reading an article online, but I don't think I actively thought about like the different forms of publishing. And also specifically for Frame or Framed in terms of like publishing as like events or publishing as podcasts. So I think definitely throughout this research, it's changed in terms of like what you consider publishing. And
And talking about Frame or Framed, what is the role of events in the programs of Frame or Framed? And what is the role of event reporting?
Yeah, so Obviously, Framer Framed is an exhibition space. We host a number of big and smaller exhibitions a year. We also have a really active community program and education program, but I would say one place where a lot of our energy goes towards is to events. We are having like 1 to 2 events per week, and especially since we moved to this bigger space in Amsterdam Oost, we host also a lot of events of other people. So we're definitely just producing way more than we were in earlier years. And so events have become a sort of key way in which we relate to our audience and how we get people in the door. And also, I would say, how we sort of expand upon the themes that we're addressing in our exhibitions, because sometimes it's just not enough to, you know, put things on the wall and display works. You also need programs to elaborate on artist research and things like that. And I would say the role of event reports so far has been like, if we have an event that we, for some reason, has become a bit more like effort has been put into it, then we would commission like a researcher or a journalist to write a sort of long form essay about the program and to put it on our magazine. Or the other option is if we have a series, that we would have usually like an intern write a little report about it, just so we can sort of keep track of what's happening. So the role of event reports has been to sort of catalog, but I would say in a way we haven't adjusted our event reporting to keep up with the number of programs we're having and to help us think a bit more strategically about how to report, what to report, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I do think event reporting can also be useful to as an archive, mm-hmm. documentation of what we have done, and also to see whether there is some kind of connections within previous events and exhibitions. And I do think that when once we start standardizing the events reports toolkit that we are working on now, event reporting can also be useful to as an archive. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I have one question. Have you ever written an event report yourself?
When I was an intern, I wrote 2 reports about like a reading room that we worked on. So I would say like this is, yeah, one of those classic forms of event reporting that we do at Framer Framed. But I didn't do it in a way that was like really, this is what this person said, this is what this person said. It was really more a response to the, which I think can sometimes be more interesting. Like, and event reports can serve different purposes in that way. But other than that, I haven't written like an event report. I've written articles like reflecting on the exhibitions that we have, which I think some people would consider a way of reporting, but I don't know if I necessarily consider it that way. So why should we reinvent the existing event report?
We're not reinventing anything. As far as I'm aware, we haven't re-standardized our event reporting system as yet. However, we are taking a significant step forward by implementing a much-needed addition to the Frame of Framed operations. When it comes to exhibitions, Frame of Framed hosts a remarkable number of events each week, as you just told us, often involving numerous external partners on a project basis. The challenge arises when each person responsible for reporting has their own unique writing style, resulting in reports that can sometimes extend to 5,000 words. I had to edit 5,000 words, I remember.
Yeah.
It's quite, because it's not, how do you say, standardized, it's difficult to also see what is an event report, what is an essay, what is a long read article.
Yeah. So I think it's clear that in this light, standardization would really take a weight off of us, but also in terms of just like when you commission journalists, what they should expect, what we expect, it just makes it more clear so that you don't end up in that sort of situation where you want a nice little event report of 1,500 words and you get back 5,000. We need to also, I think throughout this process in our hybrids publication group, we've really been focusing on lightening the editorial load as well. And how can you do that in a sort of standardized format? So we've tried to make it clear, like what is expected of an event report, what makes it interesting, to hopefully draw that out of any sort of response to the event. I think the interesting thing is like, we do want to standardize and serialize, but I think the struggle there is that we still want to leave enough space for the individual, like sort of offering of the author to give something interesting, to do their event report in the way they want to pick up on some dynamic of the event that's really going to hook a reader. And I think that's something that we've talked about is like, who is this event report for? It's probably not for the people who were at the event. So how do you make it interesting for an audience that's bigger than the audience than what you had at the program?
Yeah, I also do think that it is important to do to standardize the event reporting because evaluating the success and impact of specific events by collecting data will help strategically to think strategically about the new events. And also think, I mean, in terms of funding as well, we have to always report to our various funders. And if you have like a standardized form of event reporting, it's easier to write
the report, essentially. Yeah,
the report that you have to write, which we're always scrambling. No, we're not always scrambling. I haven't done anything yet, so I shouldn't speak for others.
No. But we do have a sort of formalized funding report section. But in terms of, but I think our funding reports actually mostly relate to exhibitions.
Yeah, and, it's true.
But a yearly report, for instance, if you had a sort of bank of event reports that you could slot in there.
Exactly.
There's a lot more also just color from the program that can then be filled into a fund. Which the single person writing a whole report probably can't fill in themselves because they can't go to everything, for instance.
What are your hopes as to the outcomes of the hybrid event reporting research?
Honestly, my biggest hope is just that it will become something really useful that a lot of people will use. I think when you introduce any sort of tool like this, it takes a bit of effort to get people to take it up and to start using it, to explain. So I really hope it's like something that people will really engage with, and something that I think is really exciting and kind of came towards the end of the research is that we're now working to make a sort of centralized platform where the events will be reported. And I think that poses a really interesting opportunity for sort of cross-institutional publications. And so as a like event goer, that's a weird term, but as a public in Amsterdam, I do feel that there's a lack of place where you can understand all the events happening in the cultural sphere. Also in terms of just planning your calendar, you kind of have to gather that all yourself. And so, I mean, maybe this doesn't fill that sort of filling your calendar need, but in terms of looking back on what is happening in the Amsterdam or wider Dutch cultural sphere, I feel like having a sort of centralized platform, if we could encourage enough institutions to use it, if we had a centralized platform, it could actually be a really interesting resource for seeing like themes that are emerging and why might that have happened. Yeah. And then it actually could become a really interesting tool for tracking public interest and things like that.
Yeah, it is true because also for me as a publisher, these reports can be valuable. Like I said, I keep repeating myself, but to establish connections with past events and exhibitions, which can also lead to the creation of new publications, whether hybrid or otherwise. Because by revisiting the archive, we can leverage existing rich content to form new publications instead of constantly searching for something to publish. I do think, especially if you look at the almost 15-year history of Frame of Frame, there's so much that has been written and that has been done. It's easy to just dig back into what we have done and create new publications. I think that's one of the things that we are looking forward to doing in the coming year, I think.
Yeah, and I think something like this would make that even richer because as someone who's done work in our archive, in terms of events, there's basically no information. You go to the page and it's like, it's of course, it's written as if the event is still to come and then you have no idea what happened there. And so you just, maybe you have some photos or things like that. So I think it does serve also a nice purpose in terms of future archiving that can then, like you said, lead to more exciting and flexible publications, that sort of thing. Thanks so much for listening. We really hope you've enjoyed getting a bit more insight into some of the things that we're doing at Frame of Frame and specifically this research around hybrid publications. You can listen to the other Frame of Frame podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.